Well, let's go down the line and talk about some of these plays.
Sure.
Sounds good.
What about The Alleyway by Emma Franzl?
Emma's a playwright at K College, and like a lot of plays that are this year, they seem to be about spiritual or familial connections. And in Emma's play, it's about this man whose son's about to have his bar mitzvah, and he's trying to reconnect with his lost brother. Their father had given him a gold watch back at their own bar mitzvah earlier in their life. And it's, you know, there's an old playwriting saying that where Shakespeare said, the play is the thing that will catch the conscience of the king. As playwrights, we like to say, the thing is the play. And in this case, the watch is really like a wonderful object that the play turns on. So The Alleyway's about that, about this brother trying to connect with his brother over his son's bar mitzvah. The brother's become a drug addicted and has been estranged from the family.
Mm. Deep stuff. Bloody Waters by Kendra Flourney.
Bloody Waters is a really amazing, beautiful comedy with tragic, certainly undertones. It's about a family who's been dislocated from their son, who's kind of been lost to drugs in the community. And the elderly father of the family is visited in his sleep by a female African-American, Jesus, who says to him that a flood is coming because of the destruction that has been done to the environment and to the community. And the play sort of raises questions about what does it mean to hope? What are the possibilities for starting over? But it's about this man who's struggling with the loss of his son coming to terms with the notion of redemption and reclaiming the city. And this kind of, he had asked Jesus for help, and Jesus comes in this form saying that a new flood is coming.
And then we have Homemakers, 1967, which is by WMUK's very own former general manager, Gordon Bolar.
Yeah, one of the striking things about this year's festival, in the past we've had a lot of 10-minute plays, and, you know, sometimes structurally there can be a sameness to that form. There's something, aspects of it that have been well codified. This year we found a lot more, say, 20 to 30-minute plays that are really intriguing, and it's led to a lot more structural variation. So in that play, it's a series of four monologues of women from 1967 talking about their role in society and in the community, or men talking about these women. And it's a series of interconnected monologues that have somewhat of a relationship to each other thematically. There's a piece in this one about Gilberto Gil, and Jobim, the guitar player, forms the backdrop to one of them, where the writing is just really beautiful. I was listening to that monologue and was blown away by it.
And then we have If Henry Didn't Kill His Wives,
well,
which
I would let the playwright.
Darcy, that's your play.
Yes, yes. And it came out from a 12-hour play fest where basically a group of us got together at 9 in the morning and decided on a theme of alternative facts. And we're all given kind of a basic prompt, and I was given Henry VIII as a blanket thing. And so I thought, well, if we're rewriting history, the biggest thing he's known for, you know, is killing his wives and having a lot of them. So what if he didn't? And it's definitely a farcical comedy. I'm paired with K College and have a great team of people that I'm working with. And I don't know how much I want to say without giving away some of the jokes. Like, I think it's funny.
It's definitely funny. One of the 2 years in a row now with Darcy's play, she's in her third year in our MFA program, you know, wonderfully talented writer. But a lot of her work can be like a little dark. And I don't read the plays, or we read all the plays anonymously. And there's a selection committee that reads the plays. I obviously know most of the playwrights and I know most of the plays. And so for 2 years in a row, there's been these comedies. And I'm like, this play is hilarious. Who is the playwright of this play? You know, because I don't know. I read them anonymously. And they were like, it's Darcy. And I'm like, no, it is not. And so now for 2 years in a row, I've been stumped by Darcy's farces. And this was, again, she had a farce in last year's Playfest also. Mm-hmm. And so once again, it's been, I was stumped by her play. But it's hilarious. It's definitely funny.
Well, yeah. I'll be excited to see it.
Thank you.
So, and then we have Just Suppose by Tucker Rafferty.
Yeah, Tucker is in our MFA program. One of the things we like to say about the festival is that we imagine that this is not the last resting place of these plays. And as we've seen, the plays have gone on to other productions and publications and additional performances. Tucker's play, we just came back from the Kennedy Center's American College Theater Festival, which is the largest organization of college and university theaters. And Darcy was there with us too. But out of the 100-some plays submitted in the one-act category, two of the plays go on to be finalists to be considered for the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and Just Suppose is one of the two finalists. So actually, of the 6 plays at that festival, them 4 were WMU plays, including 2 by Darcy. But yeah, so it's a really kind of dark love story, if you will. It's about a couple who meets on a dating site, and they start to play the Just Suppose game, imagining what their lives would be together. And what begins as almost idyllic suddenly turns kind of really dark when they're, you know, have to kind of confront where their relationship actually heads and kind of the reality of what's happening between them. So it's very dark comedy. But yeah, so it's really good play. And like I said, it's already an award-winning play.
That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. What about Sacrament by Dan Lafferty?
Sacrament, again, is another one of those plays that I think with this year's festival where we see a lot of structural variation. And in many ways, Sacrament, which is about Catholic ritual, or so I'm told, being a nice Jewish boy, that Sacrament is built around a character who has returned to his family that he's been kind of estranged from. And again, we see a lot of, in these plays, thematic connections between spiritual retrieval, spiritual return, and familial retrieval and familial connections. But Sacrament's about a character who returns to his family, and he's struggling with his own sense of religion, particularly in regards to his father who's passed away. And he basically is struggling in a way, sitting through the Catholic Mass about first whether he's going to go or not. But there's a wonderful scene in the middle where the dramatic action is set up around whether or not he's going to take communion. And he's kind of tied that sense of what religion means to him to what his father means to him. I won't give away the ending, but it's kind of wonderfully structured around that. There's an old, again, playwriting cliche about how playwriting is sort of ritual broken. And that play is really a wonderful example of that because it's sort of familial rituals which have been broken, but then also religious ritual, which for this character has been broken.
Hmm. And then we have Spells for Gay Black Sons, Signed by the Heart by Robert Davis.
Every once in a while, I feel like, and maybe more than every once in a while, there's like a writer in the festival who maybe I didn't know. You know, I feel like part of my gig around town is like I know a lot of playwrights, and I certainly know a lot of the playwrights around town. I know a lot of the voices. In the middle of the run-through on Saturday, I just had to like sit next to the playwright and say, I mean, you're ridiculously talented. He's a K playwright. Again, really unique structure. It takes place in sort of a non-realistic space in this kind of withering and dead garden. But it may or may not explore four African-American gay males who are struggling with their identity, their sexuality. It's written in just this vigorous, lovely, heightened poetic language, amazing monologues. He really gets into the core and heart of his characters through that language. But again, it kind of takes place in this metaphorical space of this withering or dead garden. as these characters kind of struggle with the life questions of who they are, their sexuality, their relationship to each other. But the writing is just, I just wonderful. I mean, just really good.
Yeah, these themes that we see about spirituality and family, you know, art reflects life. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you guys think that we're seeing a lot of these kinds of plays coming out right now?
Well, I will say that If Henry Didn't Kill His Wives does not quite fit into that category. But I think there's a real longing for connection and maybe a nostalgia to the connection that we have felt in the safety of homes early on. And so, you know, a lot of young people, I know I did, as I grew up, I withdrew from my parents' religion. And I have this nostalgia for the idea of going back to how secure it was. And while my beliefs are very different now, there's still that kind of longing for a community that is so supportive and caring. And I think that comes through in like the themes that are being shown in these pieces.
Right. And we're in a very changing world right now as well. Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of conversations in theater blogs and playwriting blogs and in conversation around various new play festivals or just play festivals about, and one of the things that theater just does better than anybody else in many ways, and it's at the core of what the enterprise is, which is liveness. Joe Chaykin, who founded the Open Theater in New York, you know, sort of one of the great moral voices of theater, you know, had this description of it where at its best, what it reminds us of is the presence of each other, you know, all taking breaths in kind of same space with each other. And as people become more, you know, absorbed with technology and actual community spaces become rarer and rarer, theater does provide this opportunity and where we're audience members, actors, artists, directors, we're all going to be together in this space sharing these kind of spiritual catharsis that are going on. And, you know, I think it makes theater feel very relevant and important. And I think the fact that this is a community event, that it's Theater Kalamazoo, really amplifies that sense of sharing this community space with this art that's being made.
Mm-hmm. And also, they get to participate in it, right? Mm-hmm. With
yes.
These talkbacks that we're having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to add off this, you know, this wonderful idea of community, there was a study recently done in some of the Broadway houses, and scientists found that audiences' heartbeats sync up when they're in a theater experience together, and they think that is directly connected to humans' capacity for empathy. And so what a better way to connect to other people in your community, a local community, than to sit together, experience a living moment, maybe have your heart sync up, I don't know, and yeah, get closer to the community that way.
And the community is really an important part of the festival, as they have been throughout its 7 or 8 years, not only as artists, but we do talkbacks, as you brought up, after all the shows. So we have a conversation with the playwrights about what they're thinking about, where the work comes from. We encourage the audience to have questions. Sometimes they have opinions because, as we playwrights know, there's only three truths in life: death, taxes, and everybody knows how to write your play better than you do. So we have a talk back and people have questions and the playwrights will be up there responding and, you know, both talking about what their process was, where the play came from, but also the kind of things they're thinking about as the play goes forward and gets developed.
So I saved one of the best for last.
Let's
talk about The Velveteen Rabbit.
Yeah, so The Velveteen Rabbit is adapted from the classic children's story with the same name. I started it in a dramatic forms class that I took with Steve last year in adaptation, and I wanted to choose something that was public domain. And The Velveteen Rabbit has recently become public, and I loved the story growing up. And I think what's really beautiful about it is So I don't have kids. I have a couple nieces and nephews, and I see how a lot of kids are being raised in and consuming really, really safe things that are really easy, teach some good lessons of sharing and the alphabet. But kids also have to deal with the really hard things that are going on in the world. And I do think that the Velveteen Rabbit is a beautiful metaphor of how to deal with loss, how perhaps it's even, you know, death. The ending is rather symbolic. I do know some people that say they were traumatized by the book as kids, and I hope to not do that with mine. I have a really sweet team of actors that are really heartfelt and endearing. And I'm really excited to see how a young audience responds to a piece of theater, because I've never had a young audience really as my audience. And so that's a really exciting idea. And I'm hoping that parents are like, yes, free theater for my child. Let's go.
I know that's certainly my attitude. This is something that is very new for the festival. We've talked about this for a number of years, that about having a play which was a theater for young audiences show, because we've never really had that before. And when Darcy submitted Velveteen Rabbit, it really seemed like we had that opportunity. So we're doing separate performances of Velveteen Rabbit where you can just come for that show during the course of the festival. And after the Saturday performance, excuse me, after the Friday night performance of Velveteen Rabbit at 7, there'll be a talk back for that play. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, my son has heard me, who's 9, has heard me talk about the festival a number of times, and he's kind of wondered why he hasn't been able to go. I think there was one dinosaur play we did 5 or 6 years ago that he was able to go to, which was a radio play. But I'm pretty excited that he can attend and see our work and see Darcy's work. I think that's going to be a nice addition to the festival.
And that'll be interesting to see what kids have to say about it and get those opinions as well.
Oh, yeah. I know that. Well, I took a children's literature class here at Western University, and we were talking about Coraline and how parents are horrified by the themes of child abduction, and the kids that watch it are saying, well, Coraline is so brave. And so the takeaway is so different depending on your life experience. I think I'm excited to see that too.
Well, and, you know, I've thought about this a lot, about movies that as a child were kids' movies, yet they did have a scary element. Mm-hmm. And I think that was very much a part of some of the movies that I had when I was growing up. And I think that those are the movies that I was more invested in, mm-hmm. and that I took more from what lesson was there, if there was one. Sometimes there wasn't.
But I think sometimes in at least plays for young audiences, I took a class and as a graduate student, I found it very frustrating because it felt like, well, everything gets anthropomorphized except for the humans, that there just wasn't like this human element. Darcy was talking about empathy earlier, and you know, I think that's the real quality of this play, that yes, it's about these toys, but what they're dealing with about what does it mean to be real or not real, and as Darcy said, loss, it's, you know, very human and, you know, very powerful.
Thank you.
So that is about all that I had. Is there anything else that's new about the Playfest this year? Anything that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, in some ways it's always new in the sense that it's a completely different palette of plays. But no, otherwise, if people have been before, you're going to see the sort of wonderful, high-quality work. Great chance to get exposed to maybe theaters that you don't usually attend, which is one of the things I really like about the festival. Civic may have its usual audience, but this is a chance to see some shows at Face Off or Queer Theater Kalamazoo. So that's still a really strong aspect. And yeah, like I said, I think there's a wonderful variety of structures this year. The fact that we don't kind of have a 6 to 8, 10 minute plays this year, that if people are used to in the best sense, a more traditional structure, more linear kind of narrative in some of the work they see. Some of these structures are just terrific between like monologue plays and poetic worlds and, you know, kind of dream plays. It's really going to be exciting. I was watching the runs, you know, and seeing, wow, this work is just strikingly different this year.
A lot of texture.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you guys so much for coming, and we'll look forward to seeing you at some of these plays.
Oh, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Us.